ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 3rd वर्स नंबर 39th। अजुष्ट ग्राम्य विषयौ अनपत्यौ च दंपती नवव्राथे अपवर्गम मे मोहितौ देव मायया। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। Translation: being husband and wife but always sonless, you were attracted by sexual desires, for by the influence of Deva Maya, transcendental love, you wanted to have me as your son. Therefore, you never desired to be liberated from this material world. Purport: Vasudev and Devaki had been dampati, husband and wife, since the time of Sutapa and Prushni, and they wanted to remain husband and wife in order to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. This attachment came about by the influence of Deva Maya. Loving Krishna as one's son is a Vedic principle. Vasudev and Devaki never desired anything but to have Lord as their son. Yet, for this purpose, they apparently wanted to live like ordinary grihasthas for sexual indulgence. Although this was a transaction of spiritual potency, their desire appears like attachment for sex in conjugal love. If one wants to return home back to Godhead, one must give up such desires. This is possible only when one develops intense love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanonmukhasya Param Param Jigamashor Bhavasagarasya, CC Madhya 11.8. If one wants to go back to Godhead, one must be Nishkinchana, free from all material desires. Therefore, instead of desiring to have the Lord come here and becomes one's son, I'll just repeat this. Therefore, instead of desiring to have the Lord come here and becomes one's son, one should desire to become free from all material desires, annabhilashita shunyam, and go back home to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in his Shikshashtak, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmanishware bhavatat bhaktir ahaituki tvai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. One should not ask the Lord to fulfill any materially tainted desires. Hare Krishna. So, we would like to take blessings of all the senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, Matajis. If they can just bless me. So, when I first read the purport, actually, I was a bit confused, because in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada says that loving Krishna as one's son is a Vedic principle. So it's a good thing. But then he says, therefore, instead of desiring to have Lord come here and becomes one's son, one should desire to become free from all material desires and go back home to Godhead. So it's not such a good thing. What is good thing is actually to go back home to Godhead. And then he's quoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is translated as, I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. So birth after birth means you have to come to this material world again. So one place it is like, you know, having son is okay, then, you know, better than that is going back to Godhead, and then again, better than that actually is again coming here, birth after birth. So I was a little confused how to explain this whole. Of course, most of us, I know, most of you must have already transcended this confusion, understood the real crux and the essence of this verse. But I was pretty much confused. So, as most of the devotees do, I also took shelter of the IDT, as they say, ISKCON Desire Tree. And I found a lecture of His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj on the exact same verse. It's a very beautiful class if you get to hear it. Very nicely, he has his natural simplistic style of, on a very practical, you know, putting things in a very practical way, and he has put that in a really practical way, and actually understood the meaning of this purport by hearing his words. So whatever I understood and whatever I heard from other great souls amongst you, and whatever principles I've learned, I will try to present this subject matter. So Sridhar Maharaj told a nice story in that. He said, you know, one time a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, there are two persons. He said, one person, he is a devout Christian, devoted to his faith, accepting in the power of one God, mercy of one God. And on the other side, there is a demigod worshipper who is worshipping the demigods for material desires. He asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, out of the two, who is better? You know, I asked this question to my wife also. I just wanted to see what is the reply. And she gave some kind of diplomatic reply, saying, actually, you know, both are, you know, they're good. They're worshipping the Supreme as per their faith. And, you know, so I said, okay, fine. So let me tell you what is Prabhupada's answer. So Prabhupada said the demigod worshipper is better. And the disciples were shocked. He said, how? You know, he's one God and the demigod worshipper is better? The Prabhupada said, because he's accepting demigods, that means he's accepting Vedic scriptures. So the concept, you know, as our Govind Prabhu also many times explains in his classes, the beauty of Vedic literatures is that nobody is disqualified from worshipping Krishna. Or nobody is disqualified from accepting the Vedic path. You have desires for material gains? Yes, you can come here. You want a son? You want God as his son? Fine. We are welcoming you. You want a beautiful wife? Yes, we are welcoming you. You want a good health? Yes, we have it for you. Everything is available. Nobody is disqualified. Right? So therefore, if you see even historically, you can imagine the kind of damage which people must have done to the Vedic path when they said that, you know, unless you have this type of desires, unless you are qualified to be on this particular platform, only then you can worship God. You know, what a kind of massive damage that has been done by this type of propaganda. And on the contrary, we see, you know, those saints, you know, in the land of India, who made the Vedic religion available practically for everyone to follow. Yes, you have any particular desire, you have any particular type of belong, you can still worship Krishna. Krishna is there still available for you. You know, we have this beautiful shloka, akama sarva kamava moksha kama udharadi. Whether you have desire, you are desiring liberation, or whatever type of desire you have, you know, you can always come here and you can worship Supreme Person. These type of saints became the most famous because they made religion available absolutely at grassroots levels. Even to the extent, you know, sometimes in the land of Maharashtra, there's one particular saint, you might have heard the name Ekanath, you know. He actually, if you see his teachings, they're completely impersonalistic. Even if a normal neophyte devotee who has been coming to ISKCON for 1 month or so, or even 2 weeks or so, if he goes through his teachings, he'll understand, hey, he's a Mayavadi. Yeah. But he has so much of appreciation, so much of respect in society. Why is it so? So I was just reading this history book and I came to know that this personality played an absolute crucial role in maintaining the people's faith in Vedic religion. During the 350 years of Mughal rule, which are described as the Black Night in the land of India, this person, he was right from the levels of Brahmanas up to the levels of paupers. Through his simple songs, through his simple whatever teachings he had, he was inspiring people to retain their faith in Vedic principles. That is the most important. No matter if you have desire or you want to have liberation, you want to go back to Godhead, maintaining the faith in Vedic religion is extremely important. And in that line, we can even appreciate the effort of Shankaracharya. I remember in one particular lecture of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, he mentioned that as far as Shankaracharya's philosophy is concerned, we want to wage a war against it. He said, as far as Shankaracharya is concerned, we want to worship his lotus feet, keep them on our head. You know, Why? Because he is maintaining people's religion. Actually, I was hearing one cassette of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says that the entire India, you know, had become Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. That means it had completely occupied by the Buddhist philosophers. To the extent that Jagannath also was accepted as a Buddha, actually. Jagannath was accepted as a deity of Buddha. You know, it was to that extent, and this one person single-handedly, can you imagine, in practically a period of 15-20 years, roamed all across India and eradicated Buddhism, practically removed it from India, established the Vedic principles. He might have impersonalistic teaching, we don't accept the teachings, but the work is glorious, magnificent, because he's maintaining people's faith. And in recent times, you know, so two things, maintaining people's faith in Vedic principles and maintaining Vedic principles available at the most grassroots level. You know, you feel these people are the most successful preachers. And, you know, in the recent times, we see the example of Tukaram, you know, Saint Tukaram. You know, he, whatever love he had, you know, for his beloved Lord Vitthal, you know, he put that, I mean, love for Krishna is such an esoteric thing. It's so difficult for normal persons to understand. He put that in his simple songs known as Abhangas, made available to most of the people. And he had the support of the king. You know, Shivaji Maharaj was there. And he was a Vedic ruler. His support was there. And this Abhangas, they were made available to practically to everybody. He gave this love of Vitthal through his songs to most simple people. Everyone was aware of that. You know, that is the quality of a Brahmana. You know, a Brahmana is not a person who wants to maintain the worship, maintain the facility, maintain the status to himself. Again, I was hearing one particular lecture of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says a Brahmana is one who can make other person a Brahmana. That is a Brahmana. And actually, I was hearing this cassette in the deity room. So we were worshipping, there was a dressing going on. And Prabhupada said that a Brahmana is one who wants other person to become a Brahmana. And one devotee who was also dressing, he immediately looked at me. And he smiled. He said, "Why are you smiling?" He said, "I was just thinking that so many devotees are getting Brahman initiated, so I will lose my service." You know, so he was kind of feeling threatened that so many people are getting Brahman Diksha, you know. But now I understand from Srila Prabhupada, the mood of a Brahmana is that let everyone become a Brahmana. That is the mood. You know, unless you are able to do that, you are not really, you know, ideal. So this person, you know, he's a Vaishnav. He's not wanting his, you know, esoteric position of the only servant of devotee and, you know, no, he's just distributing to everyone. You want to become servant of, okay, here it is. And you see that Tukaram movie, you know, very nicely presented. And I was so touched by this one particular scene. You know, there's a beggar in that movie. The beggar goes around and he sings this bhajan. You know, he's saying, "Aham mane brahma, nene bhakti sete marma, tuka mane kshana, noko taya se darshana." He says this abhanga. A simple beggar on the street. Yeah. What is the meaning of this? You know, "Aham mane brahma, nene bhakti sete marma." One who says that the goal of bhakti is to become Brahman. "Aham mane brahma, I am a brahma. The goal of bhakti is to become Brahman." One who says like that, "Tuka mane kshana noko taya se darshana." I don't want to see the face of the person even for a moment. And who is singing this? A beggar on the street. Philosophy made absolutely available at a grassroots level. Therefore, you know, I was hearing in this one lecture that when the missionaries came to India and they wanted to convert the people of Maharashtra into a different faith, away from the Vedic faith, they studied the whole psychology and the whole study. And they said, "Sorry, we can't do it." They said, "Unless as long as this Tukaram Gatha and this book is there, we cannot change the people's faith from the Vedic religion." Why? Because the Vedic religion is available at the grassroots level. And I was reading one history, and the historian pointed out very nicely. He said, the revolution which was created by Shivaji and Tukaram in Maharashtra to make this religious principles available at the grassroots level, he said the same revolution was created by Pratap Rudra and Ramananda Rai in Orissa. I was completely amazed when I read that. And I remember once I was in Jagannath Puri, and it was a yatra, so the prasad in the temple was over. So I came down, and you know, Jagannath Puri is a coastal area, so they, you know, they have fish and everything. So they have a concept of vegetarian and pure vegetarian. So vegetarian means fish is included, and pure vegetarian means even fish is not included, like that. So now I was thinking how to, whether, I don't know whether the vegetarian word, he's a simple auto rickshaw wala, like a very simple guy, you know, like absolutely, I mean, if he just goes around, nobody will even notice it. That type of person, you know, and he was, so I started thinking, how will I tell him vegetarian, and how do I explain to him? So I caught him and he said, please take me to a restaurant. I said, please take me to a restaurant which is Shakahari, you know, Shuddha Shakahari. And he was like, Shakahari? No, what is Shakahari? I don't understand what is Shakahari. I said, Shakahari means, you know, only vegetables, no meat, no mams, no fish. He said, acha, acha, niramisha. I was like, oh, how does he know this word? You know, simple auto rickshawala, he said, niramisha. Prabhupada says, loke bevaya amisha madhya seva. Amisha means non-veg. Luckily, I knew this verse. So I understood niramisha means vegetarian food. Amisha means non-veg. I said, my God, this person, he's a simple rickshawala. He knows niramisha. So I was really impressed. So I sat in the rickshaw and I started going. And I said, you know, aapka oriya bhasha bahut achha hai. Udiya, they say. Don't say oriya. I said, aapka udiya bhasha bahut achha hai. He said, haan, wo Jagannath ka bhasha hai. And when I heard that, I was touched. You know, he said, this is religion being available at the grassroots level. I was thinking that, you know, Rukmini Devi, she's from Vidarbha, she's from Maharashtra. And I never understood, I never thought it like that, you know, Vithal Rukmini, you know, they speak Marathi as their tongue, you know. I couldn't correlate it like that. You know, I couldn't make the correlation. But this person, at the grass, even the simplest auto rickshawala, who is a non-existent person from the social perspective, he was feeling that Oriya hai Jagannath ka bhasha hai. And that's why this bhasha is nice. I was humbled, I was impressed and humbled simultaneously. I said, wow, this is amazing. So this person, you know, who at that level, he feels that, you know, the language which I'm speaking is the language of Jagannath. You know, why would he convert to any other faith? Why would he change? So therefore, Vedic religion has to be presented in that way that, yes, it is. You can be at any stage of your understanding, but the Vedic religion is for you. Right? You want to have son, you want to have Krishna as a son, or whatever you want to have. So Prabhupada is saying that, yes, having Lord as a son is a Vedic principle. But then, you know, we have to understand that now we are entering into 10th canto. So as we are entering into 10th canto, you know, who are the type of people that we are going to see? You know, we are going to see Yashoda Maiya, we are going to see Nanda Maharaj, we are going to see Sakhas, we are going to see Gopis, we are going to speak about Srimati Radhani. We are entering into some of the most esoteric, the highest realms within devotional principle, you know. So you just cannot enter into such high concepts with our exploited and stretched out Yukta Vairagya understanding. You know, what I'm trying to say is, you know, sometimes, you know, devotees, I should not say devotees, but sadhakas, you know, sometimes, you know, devotees have understanding, like, you know, like one person, he told me, he said, I want to have a Mercedes car. I said, wow, you know, why do you want to have that Mercedes car? He said, because I want to take Radhanath Maharaj in my car. So it's a good thing, you know, I don't really object your, you know, you may be having genuine desire of having to do something like that. But you have to really question yourself whether you want the car for that or you want the car for something else. And like sometimes, you know, we see people having expensive cameras. Like I was visiting one marriage recently and there was a devotee and he had a camera and the camera was, my God, it had this huge zoom lens and that camera would be fit to take the photographs of animals using in National Geographic and those type of underwater and all that. Magnificent camera, but it was being used to take bride and groom photographs. I was thinking that even my mobile phone is enough for that. So, but, you know, it's better to use camera in Krishna's service, you know. But if you're saying that I want to have an expensive camera because I want to use it in Krishna's service, then you have to really, really check your desire. That what do I actually want it for? So in, you know, ISKCON, we have this, we stretch this principle of Yukta Vairagya to its limits, literally. Like when I first time went to, Mayapur, I saw there is Ekadasi pizza and Ekadasi cake. And I was completely surprised. I did not know anything apart from Shabudana Khichdi and Sama, which are the two items for Ekadasi. I was completely surprised. Because, you know, of course, it's good. It's very good. I'm not saying, I'm not propagating that you should not do like that. But devotees, you know, that's what our Shamanam Prabhu, he once explained in one lecture, I remember. He said, among all the transcendental paths, he said, ISKCON devotees are like spoiled brats. He said, if you say, he said, sometimes, you know, devotees, they ask, you know, what is there for prasadam today? If for a person who's from Madhva Sampradaya, let's say sannyasi, a question like that, what is there for prasadam? How can you ask a question like that? Whatever is there, you eat it. This question, what is there for prasadam, is not allowed in other sampradaya. But we very casually, you know, what is there for mahaprasadam? What is there for prasadam also? And we can choose from the mahaprasad items and everything. So, you know, amongst the transcendentalist, we tend to be a little kind of a spoiled. Because try to stretch out this principle of Yukta Vairagya. But the point I'm trying to say is, the people that we are going to talk about or hear about in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, they are not on this level. You know, gopis are not devotees who like to dance anyway. They are good dancers. But because they want to purify the dancing, that's why they are dancing for Krishna. It's not like that. It's not that, you know, gopas, they want out to go trekking anyway. They want trekking. They like, just like we all, you know, people often they, you know, I like to do trekking. To go on mountains and, you know, do. So gopas are not people who like to do trekking, but because they want to Krishnaize it, they want to go on a trek on a Govardhan hill. It's not like that. So there are people who are, like Radharani did not open her eyes until Krishna came in front of her. So her devotion to Krishna is exclusive. Eyes are meant to see anything, nothing but Krishna. That's all. They sing for Krishna, they dance for Krishna. Whatever they do only for Krishna. It's not that, you know, they can, you know, they're trying to purify their skills by using them in Krishna's service. You know, they are not really on the level. So as we are entering into the realm of understanding such devotees, you know, Prabhupada, he's tightening us up. He's saying, yes, now you're talking, you're entering into Srimad Bhagavatam, you're entering into Krishna Lila, then you cannot understand Krishna Lila, you cannot enter into such area with your understanding of, you know, stretched out Yukta Vairagya principle. What you have to do? Prabhupada is saying, that's why he quotes this shloka, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajana Unmukasya. One has to be Nishkinchana. Prabhupada says, actually one has to have intense love for Krishna. Unless you have intense love for Lord Krishna, you know, you cannot go back to Godhead. You know, Srila Prabhupada also said that you can eat your way back to Godhead. He said like that. You can eat your way back to Godhead. At the same time, he also said that if you are attached to eating one gulab jamun, you will have to come back again. Both things he said. Right? So we have to understand what level of bhakti a person is, and we have to slowly graduate. So Prabhupada is saying that, you know, we have to, if you want to go back to Godhead, you know, we cannot go back to Godhead with our, you know, wishy-washy devotional ideas. We have to have intense love. Nishkinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukhasya. Right? And then how you do that? Somebody may ask a question, okay, how do I do that? Well, this very verse, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukhasya Param Param Jigamashor Bhavasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayinam Athayoshitamcha Hahanta Hanta Vishabhakshanatopi Asadhu. What you should do? What is the beginning of developing intense love for Krishna? Stay away from materialistic people. That is the first principle. Minimize your association. You know, okay, many people may say, how do I minimize my association? I'm going to office, I'm doing so many things, I'm practically going outside. I once asked this question to my counselor, Shidama Prabhu, that time, that how, what is the meaning of associating with materialistic person? So he gave a nice definition. He said, associating with a materialistic person means taking pleasures in the same thing as they take pleasure in. You know, that means you're actually associating. That means you want to go out for a party, you want to go out and you want to take part in that gossip and everything like that. Yes, so developing the intense, if you want to develop intense love for Krishna, you know, associating with a vishayi, what is it considered as? Vishabhakshanatopi asadhu, that means worse than drinking poison. This analogy is given because if you drink poison, you will die. But you may again take birth and continue your devotional service. But if you are associating with a materialistic person, then your devotion will die. You know, and that is the worst thing. So dying my own, killing my own devotion is a very bad thing. So I don't want to do that. Right? And the moment you say that you are not supposed to associate with a materialistic person, that means you are supposed to associate with devotees. You know, Sridhara Maharaj in his lecture, he gave a nice story. He said that once Marahari Prabhu from ISKCON and some other devotees, they went to Udupi. And in Udupi, you know, there was this beautiful festival. And the Vaishnavas there, they didn't allow devotees to speak as such, philosophy. But they said, you can sing and dance in the Kirtan. So you're allowed. You know, please dance in the Harina. And because they were all, devotees. They were devotees from abroad. They were white-skinned people. So that whole thing became like a novelty for the whole village. And everybody came there and all the sannyasis of the mutt came there and they were all seeing these wonderful devotees dancing and chanting, singing Krishna's name. And they were just so impressed. So they were just, out of their overwhelming thing, they said, what kind of magic your Swami Prabhupada has done? They said, according to Ayurveda, they said, a person's aura, it goes at least 3 to 4 feet beyond one's body, they were saying. It's like that if you have a hardcore materialistic person, like I remember yesterday also, I was in my office and I just going for lunch, and as I was going for lunch, there were 4 people sitting there and they were discussing something. So, we have the gossiping tendency anyway, so I was just trying to understand what they're discussing. So one person said, lust and love, they are 2 different things. And I was like, wow. And then he said, but other person said, no, actually, lust has some part of love in it. Now, why are you saying that two different things? He said, no. He said, lust and love are 2 different things. And then he said something which was shocking to me. He said, don't try to mix love with lust. Uska maza kirkira ho jayega. He said, don't try to mix, love with lust, because you will lose all the fun and taste in that. And when I actually heard that sentence, for a moment I started thinking that, should I actually go after lust or love? Am I going on the right path? I kind of became confused. I somehow immediately put my headphones inside and took shelter of one class, a lecture. But here Srila Prabhupada, so you can't be associating with a materialistic person. I remember this example of Radha Gopinath Prabhu he shared. And I was relating this story with that story. He was staring at the Garud Govindji, that how he was sitting there, and then there were these 4 boys talking about something. So the topic came of the study, and they started talking about studies. And somehow or other, the topic landed on to discussing about girls in their college. And then the topic again went to, some kind of marks and some kind of education, and somehow again the topic landed on to discussing about girls. So he was telling me that how the fly mentality, they are finding rust in that, therefore the mind is going. So I was really appreciating this person is sitting next to such people and, he's not affected. And he can objectively understand what's happening. So, for normal person, you actually get affected by the aura. It's so difficult. So they were saying that your Swamiji, he went and intimately mixed with such people and he did not get affected, but he converted them. That means he has to be a great person. So basically, to maintain our clarity of thought, to maintain our clarity of consciousness, we have to associate with devotees. Otherwise, it will get affected. And once we lose the clarity of thought, we have to have clarity, just like Prabhupada here, he is saying that, a devotee, unless he gets rid of the shackles of sex desire, there is no question of going back to Godhead. And in my personal observation, in my personal experience, I have always felt that the moments of life, where your absorption in your Krishna, where absorption in Japa is not so good, you fall victim to the urges of sex desire. A devotee has to be extremely careful that his absorption in Krishna is not getting affected. Somehow, his absorption in Japa, his absorption in hearing, whatever he's doing, should not get affected. The moment that is affected, one falls victim to such desires. Right? So what to speak of associating materialistic people? When your absorption is not good and you're associating with materialistic people, it is so dangerous. It is so very dangerous. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us a process. Beginning with, don't associate with materialistic people, associated with devotees, hear from devotees, chant in their association, and then slowly, slowly, slowly purification will take place. And when the purification takes place, then you can actually go to the next level. Prabhupada is saying here, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadish kamaya. And I was hearing this, again, presentation by Radha Gopinath Prabhu, and he was quoting from the book of Bhurujana Prabhu, the book on Japa. And Bhurujana Prabhu says that the entire Shikshashtakam prayer, you know, it has been divided into stages of devotional service. So he says that the first shloka, like Chetodarpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahatavagni Nirvapanam Shriya Kairava Chandrikavitam, that is on the level of Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. A person has come to devotional service, right? He has some inclination, he wants to chant the holy name. He has come in association of devotees, right? He's testing some kind of pleasure. You know, he's, okay, some pleasure is there. You know, Harinam, so that is of Chetodarpanam Arjanam, right? The next shloka, Namna Makari Bahudanya Sarva Shakti Satarpita Niyamita Smarane Nakalaha. That shloka is on the level of Anartha Nivrutti. That's last line where Mahaprabhu says that, oh, I'm so unfortunate. I'm so unfortunate, oh my Lord, that I don't have any taste for your holy name. That is the Anartha Nivrutti. You know, a person actually starts crying that, Krishna, I want to get purified. I want to get purified. Unless you are crying, crying, crying. Like, you know, one time, His Holiness Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, he said that in ISKCON we actually teach you how to cry. So he said like that. So we have to learn to cry. So unless you're sufficiently cried, you know, that the purification of Anartha Nivrutti does not take place. So that the shloka is telling us, okay, you have to cry. And then the shloka of Trunadapi Shunichena Taro Riva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadhari. That is a shloka on Nishtha. That Komal Shraddha which has been there, you know, now it has become Nishtha. Like the aspect of Tarori was Sahishnuna, it always inspires me so much more. Because I feel that, you know, as Radha Swami Maharaj in his lecture explains that, you know, a tree, like either there's a hot sun and you are tired and you go under the shade of a tree, you take shelter of a tree, right? And in the cold season, when it is very cold, you probably cut the same tree and put it into fire, right? And the tree does not say, hey, you know, you took shelter of me in summer season, now you are putting me in fire. No, the tree continues giving the heat. And Mahaprabhu is saying that one has to become more tolerant than a tree. So how is it possible? So for a sadhaka on the shevel of Shraddha, it is not possible. One who has that Nishtha, yes, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna, Rakshayishyati Iti Vishwasa. You know, he has that faith, he can follow this. Trunadapi Shunichena Taro Riva Sahishnuna. And then, when one goes to the level of Ruchi, then this verse is there. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadish kamaya. So, if you see, you know, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, you know, I don't want dhanam, I don't want beautiful women. This is actually an expression of a higher taste in Krishna. It's not just an empty vairagya that the person is talking about. It's a Ruchi, the higher taste in Krishna, because of which the person naturally has a renunciation. Like, this is my observation, and you know, just tell me if I'm wrong. You know, I was trying to understand trying to look at all the different pastimes of Lord Krishna. What are given in Krishna book or given in, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, try to see any one pastime of Krishna where you see Krishna has done that pastime for his own self. For his own personal enjoyment, Krishna did that pastime. Find out any one pastime like that from Krishna book. You'll practically not see. You know, Krishna is stealing butter because gopis are churning the butter out of love for him. He wants to give them the pleasure of... Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill to protect cows and to protect Brajavasis. You know, Krishna jumped from that 80-foot mountain and ran from the war because somebody was waiting for him there.